You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. It's 3 o'clock, time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Mrs. LaGreca, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. And we're creeping closer to Super Bowl 55 on Sunday, and we have great guests today. Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in football, will join us later this hour. Ryan Clark will join us as well in the 5 o'clock hour. Gary Myers, who's very close with Tom Brady, is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour after ENN. So we're jam-packed. We got a lot of stuff to do. Looking forward to doing it. Super Week on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Resorts World Catskills, featuring live table games, sports betting, all-suite hotel rooms, and thousands of slots, your closest resort experience. Resorts World Catskills, only 90 minutes from New York City, so close. Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20 is your responsibility. And through the magic of what we can do in these times, Donald, Peter is on his way home because he just landed from Tampa.
Right.
And he is joining us via satellite. Like, you remember Al Franken used to have the satellite on his head? Peter, on his way to his home, actually has a satellite on his head. Good flight, Peter.
No, it was actually annoying. It was I wasn't able to catch a break today. Everything kind of took longer than it was supposed to. But to be out, no turbulence, and I'm a little late, and that's it. But I'm fine. I'm safe. I'm passing the exit for Linden Boulevard, and I figured I'd join in so I could at least be somewhat a part of the festivities.
Wow. Well, what made the flight bad? I mean, if there's no turbulence and it lands, I'll sign up for that.
No, you're right. I'll take that deal any day. It's just that I've taken this flight before, and when it runs perfectly, I make it home on time. So it just didn't run perfectly this time. It is what it is, and you know, you try for your best. But the thing is, Michael, I have the heart of a champion, and the best moment of my day already happened when I went to return my rental car, and as the guy from National Rental Car was checking me in, at the end, he said, "By the way, congratulations, champ," as I walked off.
Oh.
That's all you need. That's everything else is bonus. From
Don,
this,
do you believe
point,
any of that, Don?
Oh, yeah. Peter's a lot of things, not a liar.
Thank you, Don.
And I also
thank
thought
you.
About
and
this,
thank you, Michael.
Too. Do you remember the whole, it's a drop that'll live in infamy, when Buster was in studio.
Buster Douglas.
Buster Douglas. Mm-hmm. And
hey, champ.
Hey, champ. To Buster only.
Right.
But you still called him champ even though he's not the champ anymore.
That's right.
Buster
so
only joins us. How you doing, champ?
Still be the champ.
Right. You know why? Because Buster Douglas took a title from an all-time great in an honorable
so did
way.
I.
Peter
so did
not
I.
take
no.
it in an honorable way. I'm sorry.
I don't
I
know.
Can't
so,
sign
well,
on for this.
I don't know what's honorable in wrestling and what's not.
Okay. Honor is honor in whatever
I've
whatever
seen. I, listen, I'm not a big wrestling fan, as you know, but growing up with my brother, I've seen plenty of shenanigans. It's funny how easily distracted the ref can get during a big match, right, Peter?
Yeah, that's what's so amazing about how focused he was during my moment.
And, you know, folding chairs come out, and the next thing you know, there's a champion, and honor is not the first thing that jumps to mind. But champion he was. And Art Truth, from what I understand, is a very, very popular and right now, great champion in his own right. So I think Peter shall forever be known as champ.
Yeah, not going to happen. Anyway, the interesting thing is I have zeroed in on Peter's credit card purchases. And it's weird because once you become a champion in the WWE, Peter, through Amazon, has ordered A, a folding chair, B, a card table, and C, a ladder. They're all going to be in the house in case there's another chance to win a 24/7 title.
Did you see the purchase of a referee?
Oh, I just didn't know that they were for sale.
You can buy them.
Bezos actually puts them for sale.
Let's be honest, Michael. Amazon. If he just locked the sliding door to his room,
told him at the beginning of the day, close the curtain. He wouldn't listen, and we didn't even know it was going to happen.
I would like to not rehash sort of the negative part of the week. I'd like to focus on the positive. I'm happy to be back. And by the way, a very special day. Happy birthday. Happy 13th birthday. I can't believe I'm saying that to my niece and nephew, Alex and Jessa. They're 13 years old today. I understand how you guys feel. I feel incredibly old for that to be true.
Are these the ones that scammed you back when we were Mohegan Sun?
Scammed me?
Yeah. With the music lyrics?
Yes, first of all, two things. I only have one niece and nephew, so I suppose it has to be. Yes, when they were reading, when they did a joke from TikTok that I thought was real life. Oh, my God, that was so embarrassing.
I think the song was, "Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream."
Right.
I sailed away to China.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were just texting it to me, and I was like, what? You did what? And wow. I just kept going and going.
So you're the doofy uncle.
Correct.
Well, you know what? You sound like you don't have a car service. You're actually in a rolling aquarium because it sounds like you're underwater. So pipe down for a while as you drive.
All right, that was just the mask, though. It was not the car. It was just the mask.
Oh, now you sound better.
There
you
go. What he's doing.
Thank you.
There you go. All right, we're going to kick off the show, not with football, but because we have a lot of football planned. But if you had a chance yesterday, the Brooklyn Nets were on national television. And boy, are they terrific. They're terrific to watch. They had fallen behind in the fourth quarter. And then in about a 2.5 minute stretch, I believe they went off on a 14-0 run to take the lead. Now they gave the lead back, but they fought. It's just amazing the weapons they have that other teams don't have. You know, when you debate as we did in previous weeks, why people put up with Kyrie Irving. Watch that game. He couldn't miss. He was hitting three-pointers as if they were layups. That's how good this guy is. And the big fear that we had for the big three, how are they going to exist with one basketball, two guys that need the basketball in order to succeed, and you know what? They've done it. That part of the game is not even a problem. The defense continues to be a problem, but they did D-up when they had to against an outstanding Clippers team. Outstanding. So to beat that team, that's a nice win. That's a nice win. It was such a nice win that Stephen A. Smith, our good buddy, on First Take today, said this about the Brooklyn Nets.
What they did last night, they can do against anybody, anytime they want to, number one. Number two, it's not just the handshake after the game. It's the deferential treatment Kevin Durant provided. Kyrie took 23 shots. Kevin Durant took 13. Didn't seem to mind at all. James Harden is shooting considerably less than he was shooting in Houston. Didn't seem to mind at all. Doesn't seem to mind at all. The level of unselfishness, faith, and togetherness those three are showing with one another is something that I think we can't ignore, because I'm looking at Kyrie and I'm looking at James Harden. I'm saying, excuse me, you got to know to get the ball to KD when all is said and done, because this brother is just on that level. But the flip side is, if he doesn't mind and they don't mind, all three of them don't care about who's getting off. And that selflessness is something that we continue to see as the season progresses. Then the leadership that we're expecting from a Kevin Durant is something that he will be providing. And as a result, that is what's another going thing to make them even more potent as far as I'm concerned, which is why I have no question that they're coming out of the Eastern Conference.
All right, let me give you numbers, everybody. Kyrie had 39 points, 15 for 23 from the field, but get this, 6 for 8 from three-point land. Durant from the field was 11 for 13 with 9 rebounds, 28 points. And Harden, his fourth triple-double since joining the Nets, 23, 11, and 14. And there is a total level of unselfishness amongst the three of them. I think that this year, all ego, all bravado, all alpha maleness is going to be put on the side for the one purpose of winning a championship. Harden's never had a championship. Durant, you could say that this is his first team, because you can't say the Warriors were his team. He was probably the best player on it, but it's Curry's team. I think they're going to put everything to the side, everything that could possibly derail them. They'll be unselfish. They'll share the basketball, and they are that good. Now, years two and three, I'm not sure. Once you get the ring, once you get success, then people are going to want to, you know, take over. But we can't worry about years two and three. Worry about right now, Harden fits. Kyrie Irving works with him. Durant has no ego. They are fun to watch. Sometimes I watch basketball, guys, I don't know if you're like this, because I know I have to watch it, because I know we're going to talk about it. I know our fans love basketball, and I'm locked in. But yesterday, it was a joy to watch that game in the fourth quarter. It was that much fun watching two great basketball teams go at it. The Clippers have so many weapons. The Nets have so many weapons. Yeah, there are failings on the Nets. Not a great rebounding team. Not yet a real good defensive team. I think they'll tighten that up. But as I said, you're not going to win Game 7 of the NBA Finals 140-137. But they could put up points on anybody, guys. They could put up points on any great defense, because there's not enough great defenders to cover three alpha scorers.
Well, I don't think any of this comes as a surprise, right? We knew what they were getting. That's why everybody was so excited to see if they'd be able to come together. And the problems have been the problems, right? Well, they haven't been able to defend with a tremendous amount of ability. But when they needed a stop last night, they got it. And now we'll see what happens when we get to the playoffs. Will the egos be able to be put aside? And I would think that they would be, at least for that first year, for all the reasons that you said. And if you're a Net fan, who cares? You haven't had a championship. You had a couple of close calls, but you never had a championship. So let's not, you know, talk about dynasty. Let's get the first one. And
now, Michael, Don.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, and now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and start spiking the ball like we know that this is going to be the greatest three we've ever seen. But when you see what they're capable of, don't you think it becomes even more reasonable that people think we could have been seeing a different level big three? Though those numbers last night, if they did that on a consistent basis in the playoffs, we're saying we've never seen numbers like that from an entire big three.
And they've been giving those numbers since they're playing together. Think about it. They've been that good. And even if you've got to occasionally rest Durant because he's coming back from a serious injury, you still have two of the best players in basketball left over. And Harden had missed a game because he had a thigh injury, not affected at all. And what he's been doing is he's now distributing the basketball like he's never done before. He's averaging five more assists per game than he's ever averaged before. And Kevin Durant is playing at an MVP level. You can make the argument. He is in the argument. One of the top three players in the top three seasons anybody's having in this game. This is a scintillating team to watch. If you like basketball, how could you not like the dynamics of what's happening?
But it's not going to happen every night. We've seen it. We saw what happened against Washington the game before, you know, where there's going to be those letdowns, right? There's going to be those nights where it's not on national television against a Clippers team, that it's going to be, you know, the Hornets on a Thursday, and maybe one of them doesn't play, or maybe they're just not completely engaged. But what we saw last night was what they are capable of doing.
But the thing
is,
Don,
you judge it game to game, Michael, because there will be times where we'll go, well, what the heck happened last night?
Yeah, but they lost to the Capitals. They lost to the Wizards. They scored 145 points. So even when they lose, they're incredible to watch. And Yeah, I understand, but they didn't lose that game because of their offense. They were all worried how they're going to share the basketball. That team can score with anybody. Oh. And the reason they lost that game was they were a little lazy and they made some mistakes. And Steve Nash, who still has a learning curve, after the first three-pointer should have called the timeout so they could take the ball at half court and not be trapped in the backcourt. And he did that last night. And he also lost a game when there was a three hit at the last second. And yesterday he fouled when the team was up 3 points and the Clippers had the ball. So he's learning as well. I sound like, you know, a giddy child. Just watching this team play is so much fun. And then the Yes Network just released that they're 68% higher than they've since Harden got there, 68% higher ratings, And for the first time in forever, they are actually outrating the Knicks on TV. Now, that's a little unfair because four of the Knicks' last games before they got back home were on the West Coast, so you don't get higher ratings then. And the ratings are very close. They should be completely blown out because the Nets are such an interesting team. But the Knicks have always been the team in New York City, and right now the Nets, right, in all aspects are outrating them in all kind of age demographics as well.
See, this is what is fascinating to me and can really only happen in this city is I think people are engaged by it because it's an amazing three players and the games have been very exciting. So from a neutral standpoint, you're going to gravitate towards the Nets because it's just more fun to watch them. The offense is always more fun than defense, especially in basketball. But how many people are hating this, Michael? I mean, the Knicks have a huge fan base. They can't stomach this if you're a Knicks fan. Can't stomach it. And that's a lot of people. Like, so how often are you in a market where you've got something this special brewing and a tremendous portion of the city is sickened by it?
But you're going to get hate watchers, you would think.
Yeah, no, that's why I think the numbers are up. But because I do think there are people that are rooting against this. There are people that are not Knicks fans rooting against this because it's another one of those super teams, and it's probably a better story if it implodes. But how crazy is it, Michael, that you think a Knicks fan's enjoying this?
No.
You think Omar in Brooklyn is sitting there watching that last night and cheering Harden scoring point? No, he's disgusted by it.
Because you're supposed to be the team that got Durant and Irving. Until it happened, until we found out it was the Nets, we all thought it was going to be the Knicks.
See, that's another layer, too. I'm just talking about the fact that it's the other team in town, and you wish that it would be you, but it actually could have been you.
Yeah.
Everything that you're watching now, you felt like after that Dolan interview and after all the reports were, you know, Kleiman was going to get him to the Knicks and all that, that you felt like this was going to happen, that this could have been the Knicks. And can you imagine if it was the Knicks?
Oh my
and you
Lord.
Had a full building? I mean, it's incredible. So that's what I find fascinating about this is that in most cities, everybody is engaged by it. When this was happening in Golden State, the entire Bay Area was in love with what was happening. When it was happening with the Bulls, all of Chicago couldn't get enough of it. But in New York, you've got over half the city sick to their stomach because they wanted to be their team.
You know what I was thinking about, too, with the lack of fans? I was watching that game last night. And no offense to you, Don, because you don't do this stuff, but I was thinking, in a real world, and in the old world, Peter and I are going to a game like this. Can you imagine how rocking that place would be? How people are going to gravitate, how whatever net fan base there is, how they wouldn't get enough. Be like eating wings
like
on
us.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, and people like us who aren't quote-unquote fans, but you're just into sports and you're in the city, so of course you're going, you're rooting for them, you're having a ball. Like it could be crazy if when people come back.
Wow, just great, really great. Knicks are playing the Bulls tonight. As the Knicks are not playing well, they're four games under 500, which is their low point for the season. So they'll try to snap out of it. So that'll start at 7:30 with the pregame show. Tip off is at 8:00. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Wanted to give you this information. It will impact some of our audience. The governor of New York and the mayor of New York have announced mass vaccination site to open at Yankee Stadium this Friday. So 15,000 appointments are available during the first week. And Bronx residents, okay, can schedule appointments by visiting SOMOSvaccinations.com or by calling 1-833-SOMOS-NEW-YORK, 1-833-SOMOS-NEW-YORK. So 15,000 vaccinations during the first week at Yankee Stadium. The Bronx has a high positivity rate, currently the highest among all New York City boroughs. So this will serve for people to go get their vaccine, get your mind free, be able to live a little bit more. And again, the site's going to be reserved for Bronx residents by appointment only. So it starts on Friday at Yankee Stadium, SOMOSvaccines.com, or 1-833-SOMOS-NEW-YORK. 1-800-919-3776. We have a guest that Peter loves. I think Peter's going over a bridge right now. That's just my guess. Are you on a bridge, Peter?
No. Yeah, you know, sort of a bridge of sorts. It's I'm above the ground, yeah.
I'm above the ground.
I don't know what it
is,
though.
Well, that's where champs live.
No, thank you.
Ryan Clark's on the show today, Peter.
Oh, I'm a big fan. What time?
In the 5 o'clock hour.
All right, cool. I'll be situated for RC.
I hope that you're situated for the greatest defensive player in the National Football League, Aaron Donald, at 3:45.
This is a big program. Who needs to go to Radio Row? This is we still have the ultimate Super Bowl show.
Radio Row's coming to us. People are calling Beautiful. Up Andrew. We're turning people down.
Really? Give me a name.
Yeah, I'd rather name. Not. But a one big name.
They're
Ed Hospodar. A guy with Super Bowl rings.
Benny Agbayani.
We'll pass. Because when you factor in Don 70% and the other guests that we have, I don't know if you can make it work, Peter.
It's a very good point. We have limited time. I'm sure. I trust that you made the right call. I hope it wasn't one that I'll find in a word troubling.
No. Well, we turned down our truth. Let's put it that way.
Is that true?
That would be really. I didn't even hear about that, so I don't think that's true.
Yeah. 1-800-919-3776. Let's talk some hoops before we talk to Aaron Donald and start to really break down the Bucks against the Chiefs for Super Bowl 55. It's Michael Kay. It's Don LaGreca. It's Peter Rosenberg in a cab right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm safely in the house. Bear is good. He gave me a champion's welcome. And I got to tell you, Michael, I'm sure you appreciate this much more than I even do. When you're going out on the road to work and you get stuck, oh, my God, it feels so good to get home.
I've always said this, even when you're traveling on vacation, a lot of comedians have this bit, but, we want to get away, and all we think about when we're away, we want to get back home. Home is great. Home, especially when home is this area. Now, I was in Rome for 10 days with Jody and landed in JFK, and I kissed the filthy floor of JFK. That's how much I love being back. I mean, Rome is great. Oh, you should go to Paris. There's nothing better than New York. Nothing.
No.
Even in the state it's in now, there's nothing better than this.
But it was George Carlin that said, the second we leave the house, everything we do is to get back home.
Yep.
It's so true.
Absolutely. I've been reading a lot on the situation with the Major League Baseball owners and the players. And, the general feeling is that these two can't agree on anything. And it's really going to impact. It's really, really going to impact 2022. Because if they can't agree on something that is so cut and dried of what they should do, and everybody wants to blame the players, and I'm not going to land on either side, but I will tell you this. If you wanted to delay the start of the season, right? If you really wanted to delay the start of the season, why would you make any kind of a proposal the last couple of days of January, when guys have already paid for places down in spring training, they've ramped up their training so that they could get on the field in the middle of February, why wouldn't that proposal have been made in December? It's almost as if you're proposing things in order for it to fail. Why would you propose something at the end of January? It doesn't make sense. So, most people that listen to our show, and over the years with labor disputes, they root for the billionaires over the millionaires. Hey, have at it. Take whatever side you want. But I will tell you this. It's not a productive thing to make a proposal at the end of January when spring training is going to start on February 15th. Why? Do you want it to fail?
No, they want to fight. They want to go at it. They want to fight. And they're both going to end up losing. They might win as far as what they're looking for is concerned. But you got to care about the sport. You can't kill the host, right? I mean, that's what baseball is. Baseball's the host. And then the players and the owners are within that host. If you kill the host, everything dies. So why would you want? And I went through it with hockey back in 2004. Like at the end of the 2003-2004 season, it was a fait accompli that they were going to go at it the next year and that the season might be in jeopardy. And it affected that season. It's all anybody talked about during the Stanley Cup Final. It's all anybody talked about during the All-Star Game. And it really just hurt that year and then, of course, the whole year that it was canceled. If baseball's heading towards this Armageddon,
Don't you think that's going to affect this upcoming year, too, where everybody knows that 2022 is going to be a disaster, that there might not be baseball, that they're going to be trying to beat each other over the head with a long negotiation and possibly no baseball when we're getting out of a pandemic and the economy's still garbage? If people are going to want to turn on their TVs and hear that baseball's fighting over money?
And think about it. They could have played way more than 60 games last year. They could have. I'm sorry. But they kept going back and forth. It ended up being 60 games. And I don't think that the proposal that the owners made was terrible at all. I thought it was good. Universal DH needs to be done. It wasn't going to be 16 teams in the playoffs like last year. It was going to be 14, so right. Two extra in each league. 154 games, you get paid for 162. But since they don't trust the owners, they feel like even though this is good, too good to be true, there's something there because it gives Manfred too much power. Really, don't you think it's better for the health of the game, the health of the players? Don't you think it's better to start the season at the end of April rather than April 1st? Just forget about the monetary stuff. Forget about the bargaining. What would be better for the sport to get people in the stands and to keep the players safe? And you can say, well, they're young and healthy people. Eduardo Rodriguez had myocarditis. Freddie Freeman was praying to God when he had it. He thought he was going to die. He had 105 fever. So it does affect some people. So you turn it down. God forbid one of your players gets deathly ill. Is that worth it? Because you proved the point? And for the owners, is it worth it to really make a proposal at the end of January? Shame on both of you. I don't want to keep doing this for the next year until the basic agreement ends on December 1st. But I will tell you what I've always said. Stop leaking all of this stuff because it makes both sides look terrible. Because a portion of the fan base is going to think the players are terrible. Another portion is going to think the owners are terrible. What do you gain by leaking the stuff? Nothing. There's nothing to be gained. Just fight it out. Go to court, fight it out, but get it done. Just serve us the meal. We don't want to see how it was made. We don't care how it was made. Don't care. Now, Barton Hahn had on Denzel Mims of the Jets today.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, would you like to play with Deshaun Watson? Here's Denzel Mims.
You know, I would love to play for Deshaun, you know. I think any quarterback that they bring in, you know, I would love to play for, you know. Just want to build that chemistry with him, you know. But, you know, Deshaun, you know, just keep talking about him. You know, he's a great player, you know. I can see that he's a great leader, you know, and I would love to play for him.
Denzel, wow. get closer to the radio, Denzel. You have a quarterback that's on your team right now. It's not that hard to say Sam Darnold's our quarterback. If that's not the case and they want to bring in Deshaun, it'd be a great guy to play for. But I love Sam Darnold. Don, did I miss something? Did he not mention Sam Darnold?
Well, when he said any quarterback you bring in, I'm going to be excited to play for.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
What am I supposed to think? Like, bring anybody in, he would think it's an upgrade. Now, do I think he totally disrespects Sam? No, but it sounds like somebody who kind of knows Sam's gone. But We just had Aaron Donald on. Who the quarterback he's no longer going to play for still had nice things to say about him.
Said great things. He's my guy.
Right. He's my guy. He's my leader. You know, and that's so, and he's gone. You know, he still had nice things to say about Stafford, but made sure the quarterback that he's never going to play with again, most likely, he still said nice things about. Meanwhile, there's still a possibility, I would think, that Sam could be his quarterback. And you're like, you bring in anybody quarterback, I'll be happy. Now, his argument would be, listen, I'm just happy to be here, whoever my quarterback is. But can you mention Sam's name? He's your quarterback. You had some pretty decent games with him.
I'm going to go ahead and call that quite literally a rookie mistake. Yeah. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and sort of blame the Jets for not properly having him prepared on that.
But sense, Peter. You really think the Jets have to tell him, you know, make sure you don't say anything bad about Sam?
Well, he didn't say anything bad.
Well, make sure you mention Sam exists. Well,
But you know how it works, Michael. They coach these guys up. They do. Every team does.
I would think. I mean, it's sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? You ask the questions because you want an answer. And then it's sort of annoying when they give you the canned answer of my quarterback, Sam Darnold. He gave us the truth, which is that not necessarily that he thinks Sam's bad, but that he thinks he's gone.
But you're right. I know the Jets had a conversation with him and said, listen, here are the questions you're likely going to be asked. and you're probably going to be asked about Deshaun Watson. You're probably going to be asked about the future of Sam. And here's how you should answer that.
Wow.
I don't want to put words in people's mouths. Sometimes we overdo this. Clearly, the best thing I can say in defense of Sam from what Mims said is that Mims must know he's gone.
Now, did you see that Schefter reported yesterday that they can get a low first-round draft pick for Sam? Which I thought was a little bit more than they would get, especially when you see what other quarterbacks are getting. But Sam, I guess there's a lot of people in this league that think that in the right situation, he could work things out. So the more things are playing out now, I don't know if they're going to get Watson. I'm just not getting that feeling. And a guy, Schefter, who's locked in so much, said don't get your hopes up several times. I think they're going to pick one of the quarterbacks with the second pick. I really do.
Yeah. And they'll trade. And if you can get a first-round pick for Sam, and I'm going by what Mike Tannenbaum told us and said that it would probably be a second-round pick. But I guess with all the reports that none of these quarterbacks are going to move, and possibly Watson doesn't move, that maybe there'll be a team out there that was hoping to get, you know, the Staffords or the Watsons of the world that will now look at Sam and say, if I can't trade up to get the 2 or 3 pick with Miami or New York, then, yeah, maybe I'll see if I can't, you know, give Sam a shot. I'm sorry. There's something there, all right? He is not completely broken where he can't help. If he's got the right coach and the right team, I think you can win with Sam. Is he ever going to be the best quarterback in football? No. But I think he can be a winning quarterback in this league. And if there's a team that thinks they can get him for the first-round pick, and if the Jets can get a first-round pick for him, then that's what I would do.
That means the Jets are going to have 3
first-round picks. I would pick Fields, and then I would trade Sam.
And you know, you jumped on it right away the second to last time we interviewed Joe Douglas, when I brought up the money that Sam was owed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, yeah, that, you know, he didn't even
deny
it. You're right, Michael, because that's $25 million they have to pay him in 2022 if they keep him. And then all of a sudden you can't do other things. And that just was a little bit of a window that even if it's not Watson, I don't think it's Sam.
See, you got a defensive coach coming in, right? So I'm not saying Saleh doesn't have an opinion on Sam, but it's not like you brought in some offensive guru who's going to say yay or nay to the quarterback. So it's probably just what their gut tells them. And their gut tells them, we've had this guy for 3 years. He's been a bit injury prone. We haven't seen the best of what we thought we were going to get with the third overall pick, which was taken by a previous regime, by the way. And now we're going to have to pay for the privilege of finding out at the end of the 4th year, when we're probably going to be in full rebuild mode, whether he can be that, you know, for the length of a contract we're about to give him, or do we just start fresh? Right? It's my second draft as a general manager. I got a brand new head coach. I've got all these picks. I've got all this free agent money. Let's start fresh. Let's take Fields or Wilson, and let's go to work.
Now
if I can get another first round pick for Sam, that's probably what Joe's thinking right now.
Now, Barton Hahn also had on another Jet, Rashad Perryman. And here's what he said about Watson.
I can almost guarantee, like me personally, I got a ton of confidence in Jameis, and I just know the type of player he is and what he can do. Like, his mindset and his work ethic is on another level. Like, he's probably the hardest-working quarterback, one of the hardest-working players I've ever been around. Just hunger and determination to win is, like, off the charts. I feel like his arm is just crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Deep balls, he put it on the dime. You know, even intermediate routes, he can pinpoint it where only you have the chance to make the play. I feel like he's definitely going to be a franchise quarterback the next opportunity he's given.
Now, Anthony, who is he talking about? It's not Watson. He's talking about Jameis Winston. Why'd they ask him about that? Because he played with him. Oh. Another quarterback.
Oh, yeah, he was in Tampa.
Interesting. 1-800-919-3776.
Did anybody directly ask either of these two wide receivers their thoughts on Sam? So we don't have to read between the lines. We know about Jameis Winston. We know about Watson. Did anybody ask about Sam?
I'm told that he was not mentioned at all. By the way, can I
Okay.
Can I give a collective hug to our listeners? You know what they're doing on Twitter? They're jumping Pat Kavanaugh. Who's at Pat Kavanaugh and saying, you shouldn't be butting in like that.
They should wow. Ask.
They're the best.
I love our listeners.
They are the best.
They deserve better. Those are the ones that should be insulted.
Let's go to Marty in Lindenhurst. Marty. Marty.
Got to turn down the TV or the radio, buddy.
Marty. How
hey,
long
Doc.
Do I give it?
Hello?
Hello, Marty.
Hello. Good afternoon, fellas. I'd like to ask Don's opinion on something concerning...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Don's opinion on something concerning the Rangers, Don. I've been a Ranger fan for 70 years now. I'm 82 years of age, and I'm a former season's ticket holder, believe it or not, in the Old Garden. And it just drives me crazy about the way that they there's no continuity at all on their lines. They just keep switching player after player from line to line, game to game. And I see all the teams that come in to play them, or even when they're on the road, they have set lines. And the Rangers, every single game, they seem to be switching a fella from line to line. So there's no continuity. There's no familiarity from line to line with these players. And it's just driving me nuts. And in my opinion, if they don't change and have permanent lines, then I don't think that they're going to go too far, to be honest with you. And I'd like to have your opinion on that one.
It's an old trick in the NHL and in hockey in general. When you're not generating offense, you try to jimmy switch the lines to try to find the right combination. Kako's in protocol. You got a 19-year-old kid in Lafreniere. You've got Zibanejad, who isn't doing what he's supposed to do right now. You know, Panarin and Kreider are tied for the lead. What is it? Panarin's got 5 goals. Kreider's got 4. Michael, you're always going to change things around, like rotations in basketball, if things aren't working offensively. And right now they're just trying to find the right combination. But what it comes down to is when you got a bunch of young players and your stud player in Zibanejad is underachieving, what do you want the coach to do? Just go with the same lineup and just hope it eventually cracks open? Or do you try to do something? So if he doesn't coach, he's doing a bad job. If he does coach, then he's doing a bad job. Fact is, players got to play. Got to score. Got to get a stop. Your goaltender's got to make a play.
You know what I'm worried about with this Ranger team, Don? They've just played the junior varsity portion of their schedule. The next 11 games, I think, are against the studs of the division. I mean, you can actually decide what they're going to do this year by their next 11 games.
Philadelphia is 7-2-1, Michael. They've got 8 games with them. Boston's lost 1 game in regulation this year. 1 game in regulation. They've got them 8 times this year. All right? Washington, they've lost 1 game in regulation, the Capitals, after losing Ovechkin for 4 games. They've got 8 games starting tomorrow with Washington. You're right. Right now, Michael, this team's not making the playoffs. Unless they start winning some games here, as presently constituted, this is going to be a team that misses the playoffs. And that's okay under this format, as long as they start to get better. You know, but right now, they're losing a lot of one-goal games. They finally figured out a way to win on Monday. But, you know, if Zibanejad and Panarin are not going to live up to what they did last year, and these kids are going to take a little while to go, then this is what you're going to – I wouldn't give up. I don't think this is a coaching issue. I think this is just a team that's just eventually trying to find its way. But it probably, because of the format, is not going to happen this year.
We're going to have Alan Hahn of one half of Barton Hahn come on and explain the Mims and the Perriman stuff, because it was on their show. I just got a picture sent to me by our program director, Ryan Hurley.
Okay.
Who's getting a haircut at Manny's Barbershop in East Northport, New York. And our show is prominently on the big screen in the barbershop.
So nice.
We thank them. And I was also told that go see Isaac, David Joseph, and Alex for a cut. I think I'm going to make that drive and do that. Peter, no need for you to drive because you don't have hair.
I want to see where this goes, Mike. I don't know.
Thank you very much.
Here. The hair.
What do you mean?
You're
going to see where what goes? Your
my
hair?
I'm going to get it to where I'm going to. It's growing to the point where I might be able to get it in my mouth. Which
I also
been able
think
to
you,
do
could,
that
you can. You can do a ponytail.
Excuse me.
I hope I didn't step on that, Peter.
You hear that? Drop it all you want. I don't care. I love the long hair.
Why don't you pony it?
Because it doesn't bother me.
No, just for the look. Ponytail it.
Who's looking at the back of my head?
People, when you're walking away.
Where am I going?
Well, when you're snowballing. You know, when you do that.
I've always loved long hair.
Well, good for you. Now that you're 58 years old, you shouldn't be having that long of hair.
I'm going to be 53.
You look like George Carlin.
Next Saturday.
I know when your birthday is.
How'd it work out for George?
I'm 57. I'll be 53 next Saturday.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. The great Hahn, Alan Hahn, joins us in just a moment. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Alan Hahn, we were amazed when we heard a clip of Denzel Mims from your show, embracing every quarterback who ever threw a football in the history of football and not even mentioning Sam Darnold. Were you guys taken aback by that?
Yeah, he raved about Deshaun Watson. I tried to ask him about Sam. He actually talked about, I had to adjust because Joe Flacco, you know, the ball gets to you faster. And I'm like, does he know Sam's name? Yeah, sometimes it's not what they say, it's what they don't say. And Rashad Perriman went on and on about the one season he had with Jameis Winston. And when I asked him, well, what didn't work with you and Sam? I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I have no idea. But he did go to the length of saying, you know, it wasn't all Adam Gase.
Wow.
Him saying it wasn't all Adam Gase, unsolicited, by the way.
Wow.
Bart and I just kept looking at each other like, okay, what's going on here?
The Michael K. Show.
It's growing to the point where I might be able to get it in my mouth.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You're welcome. Oh. Thank you, Don. That is the winner of Drop Madness. Don't you think so, Peter?
Needed a little insurance policy, and we got it.
It wasn't a scream. No screaming. Usually a scream wins. But let's hear that again, Anthony. This is out of Don's mouth in conversation.
Wait for it.
Very quiet.
Wait for it.
It's growing to the point where I might be able to get it in my mouth.
I don't know if we could even...
Wow.
Oh, we can use it.
Wow. Right before our very eyes. Right before our very eyes.
Chicago.
Yeah. We're seeing the NFL, I don't know if you would call it evolve or just simply change, but in the past, if you had a young quarterback, that was good. Not great. Good. Just not terrible. You hung with him. Rolled the dice. Hoped that he would get better. You put a good team around him, that he would rise to the occasion. We're not seeing that anymore. And Tampa Bay might be the blueprint. You know, Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions last year, but there are a lot of people that think that this guy is a good quarterback. Oh. He might be the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints next year.
Might be.
And they got rid of him at a young, I think he's like 26 maybe. And they decided to go with a 43-year-old quarterback. Now, granted, that's the greatest of all time, but you lost a lot in that trade in terms of age. We just saw the Rams do it. The Rams gave up a 26-year-old that took them to the Super Bowl and decided to go with a 33, 34-year-old because they think he's a better quarterback. So it looks like teams, maybe Steve Young has always been right. You got to have a great quarterback to have any chance to win a Super Bowl. Both of the teams in the Super Bowl this year have great quarterbacks. Nobody is going to take their chance with a good one. And I think that's a seismic change. And it seems like teams don't care about age anymore. If you could get me a quarterback that's better, I'll take him and trade away 8 years in experience. I guarantee you, Don and Peter, that if Drew Brees decided to play somewhere else this year, there'd be teams lining up for him at the age of 41 or 42. They'd be lining up to bring him in.
I don't think there's any question about that. Michael, I look at it differently. I think you're right about everything that you said, but it's almost as if, all right, well, you better show me and show me right away.
Yeah.
Because I have zero patience. Tagovailoa was just the fifth overall pick in the draft last year, and Miami might trade to get another quarterback. Now, this is a special quarterback, but did they really need a quarterback? The kid didn't even play 16 games this year, right? They were able to get him. He dropped to them because of the injury. But so he gets 1 year. They throw him in there. Some good, some bad. But now we got a chance to possibly get Deshaun Watson. Well, goodbye. You know, we saw it happen in Arizona with Rosen.
Yeah,
then they take him the very next year. Bang, they take another quarterback in the first round.
And today in the Las Vegas Review-Journal, they reported the Raiders expected to field calls about Derek Carr because they think they could get a couple of draft picks for him and spin him around and get Watson. I don't know because neither of those draft picks are going to be two or three like the Jets or the Dolphins. I don't know if Vegas is the preferred landing spot for Watson. But Derek Carr is a good quarterback. So forget about the age difference. They are going to trade up on a quarterback, whether you got a guy signed for a good deal, if the guy's 26, 27, if you think that you can upgrade, every team knows you can't win with a – I think the days of winning a Super Bowl with a Brad Johnson, I think they're over. The days of winning a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, over, because the whole game is predicated on quarterback play.
Yeah. Well, they've been over. You know, the Johnsons and the Dilfers have been over. But now it's – you know, we're celebrating the 13th anniversary of Eli, you know, winning that Super Bowl. You know, and we're 10 years removed now because we're going to come up on, 9 years since they won their last one. You know, is it over for a quarterback like that?
Well, it was 3 years ago, though. I guess it depends on what we're talking about. Is it about the ability to be good enough to have a good season or go all the way? Because the Eagles had their entire playoff run with Nick Foles, no?
Well,
yeah, but
always
the thing
outliers.
That got them there, Carson Wentz at the time was great. He was going to be the MVP.
Yep.
And you know, it was a magic carpet ride for Foles. But they the first 13 games of the year, it was Carson Wentz led that team to where they were. So tell me a Super Bowl team that the whole year with an average quarterback that made the run. Now you could say, well, Garoppolo's an average quarterback. I don't know. Is he? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he is.
But here's what it comes
down
to.
That's why they're trying to trade him now.
All right, but here's what happens. Like, there's outliers in everything, right? You know, there's always you need stars in the NBA to win a title, but we saw the Pistons a few years ago win a title without any superstars. Right? So there's always going to be times where there's an exception to the rule, right? But let's say you had a Mark Rippon situation, right? Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, it's a good quarterback. Not great, good quarterback. He wins the Super Bowl MVP. You're gonna give him a contract? You're gonna have to, right? Because he just won you a Super Bowl. Like, you're okay to give, you know, the great quarterback a contract, or you give Russell Wilson a contract every day of the week. But if you got an average quarterback luck into a Super Bowl or some circumstances get you a Super Bowl, would you then lock in big money to that quarterback for winning you a Super Bowl?
I think that's the Jets' biggest fear.
I don't think you do that.
Let's say that the next 2 years Sam's okay. You know, he's not bad. Then they got to sign him to that big money deal. I mean, it's all a matter of timing. It doesn't matter how great you are. If your time is up and they need quarterbacks, you're going to get a $35 to $40 million a year deal. Look at Dak Prescott. Is Dak Prescott the best quarterback you've ever seen? No.
No.
But it's timing.
But I will say this, the last three Super Bowls,
okay,
there have been six quarterbacks. Three of them are exactly who we're talking about.
Shoot.
Jimmy G last year, we don't know. He's certainly not special. Right. We don't know what level. The year before, Jared Goff. The year before, Nick Foles. I see what you're saying in terms of building a team. I agree. The way to build a team is around a quarterback. But when you look back, the year before that was Ryan and Brady, okay. The year before that, the Denver won a Super Bowl with a guy at quarterback who could barely throw the football anymore.
Right,
but he's still great.
I mean, he wasn't that year. He was god-awful.
Right, but all three, two of the three quarterbacks you mentioned, Peter, lost the game.
Sure. But then if you include Peyton, four out of the last five, you then have two of them.
All right, well, Peyton doesn't matter because he was at the end of his career anyway. Okay? You saw Foles. He's gone. Now he's pretty much out of the league. Goff's already on the second team in which the Rams obviously regret giving him that contract.
But does Denver not go to the Super Bowl that year? With that defense they had, they don't go to the Super Bowl if instead of Peyton Manning, it's some other, you know, it's Marcus Mariota?
I don't know. But you know, the ones that you did mention, though, they traded Goff, so he was good enough to get them to the Super Bowl, but obviously the prize is to win the Super Bowl. They don't think they can. And every word you hear is that San Francisco is going to move heaven and earth
right
to get Deshaun Watson. Because why? Because he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
And even before Watson became available, there were questions on whether he was long for San Francisco anyway. All right? But to Peter's point, we've had seen outliers. But are those guys that you are going to commit long-term to? And if you do, are you going to regret it? Now, again, Peyton was at the end of his career. Denver didn't have to worry about it. Peyton left, and what's Denver been since then?
I also wonder, Don, you know, you mentioned Eli. In today's world, would they have suffered through Eli being as bad as he was when he started? Because, we have the ridiculous conversations. We have had these conversations on this show. Is it time for the Giants to cut bait on Daniel Jones? He's quarterback for 2 years. And we're talking about Sam Darnold, 3 years. There are no shortcuts anymore. There are no long-term, let's build it up. That's what I mean. They're looking for shortcuts. They're looking for right now. Right now.
And would the Giants have continued to suffer through the rough Eli seasons after the Super Bowl?
I wonder. Well, once you get the Super Bowl, I think.
It helps.
It helps.
But I wonder today if people would believe it would still be possible he could go back. Because we always believed here that with Eli at the helm, they'd have a chance to go back. I don't know if you still get that leash these days.
Yeah, it's a different world. It's a different world. And because the game is so driven on offense, Steve Young has said it, not us. You're not going to have a great defense. Well, I don't know if the Chicago Bears of 85 would survive now with the rules and having Jim McMahon as their quarterback. Would they be 15-1 and win the Super Bowl that year? Their defense was extraordinary, probably the best ever. But would that defense be able to do what it did under these rules where you can't touch wide receivers, you can't go near a quarterback? Would that defense have been good enough to win a Super Bowl with Jim McMahon as the quarterback? I don't know. I think that it's called into question.
Well, but the thing is, when Flacco won that Super Bowl against the 49ers, they gave him a contract. You don't think they regretted that?
Obviously, they did.
You know, so, yeah, you might get an outlier where that quarterback is okay and wins you a Super Bowl, but then if it cripples you long term, you're like, no, get me somebody that I can win with immediately that's a great quarterback that I can have what Kansas City has, that can go every year and try to win it. So you loved having the one, but the way the salary structure is, you've got to pay those players, which means other players walk. And then Baltimore had trouble after Flacco because they paid him all that money and a lot of their defense walked. Seattle, the same thing. Why do you think all those defenders walked? Because they had to give the money to Russell Wilson. They're okay with that because Russell Wilson's great. But what if Russell Wilson ended up being like Flacco?
Now, here's what Steve Young said Monday on this show about a great quarterback.
The game has changed. Rules have changed. It used to be you could invest in offense and go to the Super Bowl. You could invest in defense and go to the Super Bowl. You can't do that anymore. It is, of all times, quarterback-driven, free yards, safe. It's a safer game. Defenses are on their heels. And so the innovative coaches that are leaning into this new truth, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, they know I have to have somebody that doesn't hold me back. We know that those are hard to find. But you would do it because it's – you can't just invest in defense today and go to the Super Bowl. Can't do it. It is all about the quarterback. And if you have somebody that can go get the yards and knows what they're doing, you would do anything for it. That's why the Rams did anything for it.
All right, let's go to Danny in the Bronx, see what you guys are thinking. Danny, you're next.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are
nice
you?
Nice to meet Peter. Glad to be on again. I just want to make a quick point. I've been listening. I left work. I'm listening, and I think a lot of it has to do with the whole coaching aspect of the game. It's devalued a little bit. You know, you got a lot of teams picking up, you know, relatively newer coaches, inexperienced coaches.
Oh, we lost Danny.
We lost him.
Well, but every coach. I mean, the Jets have gone against the grain. It seems to be offensive centric. And they you know, the, Kingsbury, he's a quarterback guy. They didn't. Josh Rosen's going to go down as one of the cautionary tales in all of football history. He never got a chance.
Right.
Never got a chance. How unfair is that?
Yeah, how many games did Josh Rosen play?
It's awful. He might not ever get a chance to play in the NFL at a starting level. Let's go to Mark in Brooklyn. Mark.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Mark.
I just want to start off. You guys already kind of touched on this, but, I mean, Peyton Manning did win a Super Bowl with the Broncos, and he was pretty awful in that Super Bowl and for the whole year. I think he was actually benched for Osweiler that year.
Right.
But I don't think Osweiler would have ever won that Super Bowl like how Manning did.
Manning didn't have the arm strength, though, guys. Mark, he didn't have the arm strength, but he was still a brilliant quarterback who knew how to squeeze you have to be a brilliant quarterback to win.
But
either be an unbelievably talented one, and just on muscle memory, Peyton Manning was able to do things.
Right, but clearly it petered out, right? So you're done, Manning's done, they win the title, it's over. It's been over for Denver, right? Have we heard from them since? No, right? So an average quarterback might be able to win because the defense is great. But then what do you do? Like anybody would take, Peter would take one championship. I would take one championship. You take one championship.
Would I ever?
These teams are thinking like Brian Cashman. They're thinking, I want to win championships. So if I have an average quarterback and I get lucky and I get a run and I get a great play from an average quarterback and I win a title like Philadelphia did, but where did it leave them? Right? It didn't work. It didn't help Foles, and it certainly helped the moving on with the Philadelphia Eagles. The same with Denver. The same with Baltimore when they won with Flacco. But what they're looking for is what Kansas City has, what New England had all those years, what they believe they have with Green Bay, is that every single year we've got great elite quarterback play and we can do it every single season. But the way this league is structured, if you get that one title and that quarterback is due for a contract and you have to give it to him, then that'll be the only championship you win.
Let me throw this at you, Peter. I'm not sure exactly where Washington picks, but since it won the division, it's going to be in the 20s, even though they didn't have a great record. Would you trade that pick for Sam Darnold? We're talking about great quarterbacks to win. Would you trade that pick for Sam Darnold?
If Washington doesn't have another option, I think I would. I think I would. I mean, don't get me wrong. Washington has needs. They still have needs, of course. They're not a perfect team. But
they picked 19th, I'm told. So I'm not sure I would give up 19.
That's hard to say.
What are your options? You don't want to go to next year with what you have.
And what are you picking at 19? You know, for this year, I mean, they're going to eventually have to make a decision on Brandon Scherff. They're not going to be able to keep everyone they have up front. But right now, at most of their key positions, they're in pretty good shape. So Washington is one of those teams that glaringly is a quarterback away from being 11-5 instead of 7-9, right? I think most of us would agree they're close.
Right.
So how long do you wait? What do you do with your 19th pick that's as worthwhile as a shot at a quarterback? I believe Sam could still be worth it. I can't say the Denzel Mims interview helped, but I think Sam could be worth it.
Isn't it interesting, though? The Jets are looking for the same thing as Washington. But you're thinking Washington would take what the Jets don't think is good enough to win.
Well, it's not that they don't think it's good enough to win. It's that they got the second overall pick. So
yeah,
now
but
go
you're
out
rolling the dice with those three kids that are going to be available at that point. You're rolling the dice with every one of them.
But do you think we're having this conversation if they've got to give Sam the $25 million 2 years from now? Probably not.
I don't know, Don. I mean,
you're
going
to have to pay
Mims
the quarterback
said,
eventually
sure.
anyway, but here's their worry, is we don't know. Here's the best thing we could say about Sam for 3 years. We don't know. So you think we're going to know next year? Are they going to spend all of their money in free agency? I don't know what they're going to spend. I mean, all their draft picks aren't going to all of a sudden pop. They've got to make it. So they're going to have to make a decision on giving this kid $25 million in a contract based off of what are you going to get next year?
And I always get pushback on this, and maybe I'm wrong, but usually by 3 years, even – you have a bad team. You're going to show glimpses of greatness. I'm sorry. If there were glimpses, they were so short-lived. I mean, he made so many of the same mistakes. If you saw glimpses of greatness, Don, you pick up that $25 million option year without even blinking. I don't think the Jets have seen enough.
Well, but again, we get into the same conversation all the time, but, you know, with the different coaches and how dysfunctional the franchise has been. And listen, what Mims and Perryman had to say were pretty glaring, especially Perryman because he's gone. So
and
for
he's
Mims
been around
to say what he said is, but I mean, he's a kid and he hardly played too. So right. I wouldn't get crazy off of what he said because he's certainly no expert. Perryman's a little different because he's been in the league a long time. But, you know, two coaches and different systems and no talent. And there's a lot of things that have worked against Sam. But you're right. I don't know if I'm willing to give him all of that money. And I don't know if next year is going to be that much different. Are they going to spend a bunch of money in free agency? They're going to have to at some point. But what do you expect the Jets to be next year? If they're going to keep Sam, what do you expect them to be? Best case scenario.
Well, I mean, if they keep Sam, what are they going to do with that second pick? Are they getting, you know, they're going to get Sewell, the other offensive tackle? I'm not sure.
No, they wouldn't.
Are they
going
to be able to spend their money on Robinson or Schuster? I mean, are they could be completely different.
What I would think you would do is you would trade that second pick, and you would get a bunch of other picks, which means now you're building through the draft. So that's not going to bear fruit right away. Are they going to spend the $90 million in free agency this year so they can find out what their quarterback has? Or are they going to use their draft pick, save their money for the following year? And if that's the case, then what's Sam's season going to be? And now I got to make a decision on whether I'm going to give him $25 million. That's the rub for Sam, is that they got to make a decision on him after next year. If they didn't have to do that, I think they'd be a little bit more patient.
And you'd like to believe that after next year, the decision would be easy to make, and they clearly would have seen enough. But who knows? Sometimes we've been sitting here, it feels like, in the same spot for three straight years.
He's gotten 3 years. Josh Rosen got one. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. When we get back, the great Ryan Clark will break down Super Bowl 55. That's right here on The Michael Kay Show. You're watching us on Yes and listening on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to The Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.